Did you pay attention to the words with which the first reading began? Woe to the shepherds. Rarely will you find readings at Mass beginning with a curse. Thus says the Lord. So this is coming from God. Jeremiah is the one who's proclaiming it, and he begins with the words, "Woe to the shepherds." Jeremiah proclaimed his prophecies after about 628 BC. That's when he was called to be a prophet. In the beginning, things were great for him because the king under which whom he began to proclaim was King Josiah. And he began a process of reform in the southern kingdom of Judah. Reform from what? From infidelity, from idolatry, from injustice. But then after Josiah came another king by the name of Zedekiah. Zedekiah was anything but a faithful king. And his false prophet, as it were, his name is Hananiah, began to counsel the king to revolt against the Babylonians. It is in this context that Jeremiah tries to counsel the king and say, "Please listen to the words of the Lord." He doesn't. Jeremiah is persecuted. Jeremiah, many scholars say, is even put to death. We do not know that. Nobody knows how Jeremiah died. Even though he was a prophet, he spoke what God was asking him to speak, and he paid for it. Had Zedekiah listened to Jeremiah, probably the nation would have survived the onslaught that the people from Babylon the king of Babylon brought upon the people of Israel, of Judah. Babylon was completely destroyed. The temple is destroyed. Only the poor and old people are left in Babylon, in Jerusalem, and the rest are all deported to Babylon. That's the beginning of the Babylonian exile. It is in this context that Jeremiah says to the king, "Woe to you shepherds, you did not hear and heed the voice of God. Woe to you because you brought misery on your people." But that's not the only message. Jeremiah ends his message with a sense of hope. Listen to what he says. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot in David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land." He will do what is just and right in the land. This is the name they give him. The Lord is our justice. Jeremiah prophesied this about 500 years before Christ came. And we believe that in Christ, Jeremiah's prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus comes, but he comes to a nation that is enslaved under the Romans. Except for John the Baptist, there is no priest, there is no prophet, there is no king who can lead the people. Woe to the shepherds, Jesus himself would say. And so you have people in today's gospel reading. I love this passage that we read. Jesus looks at the people. They're hungry. They're thirsty for God's word. They want somebody to lead. They want somebody to be just and right. They want somebody to give them words that would give them hope. Jesus' heart is moved with pity, with compassion. He looks at the people. He doesn't have time to eat. He doesn't even rest. When he sees the people, knowing their need, feeling what they feel, he begins to teach them. And in Jesus' teachings, and I'm going to emphasize that quite a bit today, in the teachings that Jesus gives, people begin to sense love. They begin to sense hope. They begin to sense justice and righteousness. And I think for us to somehow to reach a deep consciousness of who we are as a people and who is it that we are following, I think that is where the scripture readings are leading us today. So there are three things I want us to think about this morning. First of all, I said what impacts me deeply about today's reading is the fact that Jesus is moved with compassion. If I'm to rephrase those words, I want to say that Jesus is moved to the core. I'm sure we've all had moments like that when we feel that something in our guts is hitting us. His heart aches. He was affected in the very depth of his being at the plight of his people. And when Jesus feels that way, it says something to me about God. That our God is not some impersonal, righteous being, a demanding God who sits up there unconcerned about what we go through in life. Somebody who sits up there and just keeps demanding stuff from us. That's not our God. Our God feels what we feel. Our God laughs with us. Our God cries with us. Our God talks with us. Our God loves us. Our God even dies for us. That's the God we know. Just to know that, I don't know about you, but for me, just to know that my God cares enough is tremendous hope and strength. Friends, if today we had the opportunity to just sit down and talk, many of you would share about what's thrilling in your life right now. For example, I mean, here's a you know, parents baptizing their baby. I saw tears in their eyes at the beginning when I was introducing them to the crowd. That's a thrill. God feels that. God is with them in this. But then if we share, there'll be stories of pain and hopelessness, sometimes meaninglessness. If we could just share with each other. In my own life as a priest, sometimes my weaknesses overwhelm me. My loneliness sometimes overwhelms me, particularly when I miss my family. When I come back from home, gosh, the first 15 days, jet lag is one thing, but the whole feeling of what mom is feeling right now and what dad is feeling right now and how they feel, it's heart-wrenching. Sometimes I find it difficult to forgive myself, but then to know that my God feels in his gut or her guts what I feel, that itself is comforting for me. Our God cares. Jesus is moved with pity. But Jeremiah called Jesus the Lord who is justice. This God who will teach his people what is just and right. And that's my second point. Jesus communicates to us God's will in no uncertain terms. Friends, I want us to realize that we are not like the people of Judah who are without a leader. We're not like the people of Israel in Jesus' time who were like sheep without a shepherd. We have a shepherd. If you and I want to know what the right thing to do is, what is a just life? What is a right life? What is righteousness? All we need to do is pick up the scriptures and read where Christ is leading us. Jesus teaches us to love God beyond human imagination and to love others in the same way. Do we have any doubts about that? Is nobody teaching us to do that? Jesus is. He teaches us to abandon our lives into the hands of God. He teaches us not to hate our enemies, but to pray for them. Do good to them. Love them. He teaches us not to pick up the sword, but to lay it down. He teaches us not to count the cost, but to give beyond measure. He teaches us to forgive the unforgivable, to love the sinner, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the prisoner, and the home the homeless. In other words, we are a people who know exactly what to do if we want to be righteous people. And then, because we know what it means to be righteous people, Christ is inviting us to be moved with pity ourselves. To be what Jesus was to people. To feel in our guts people's pain, people's hopelessness, people's joys, people's thrills. We are not like sheep without a shepherd. We know Jesus, and we know what Christ teaches us. And thirdly, talking about sheep without a shepherd, gosh, whether you are in India or whether you're in the United States, there is the sense of, God, where is this world going? Where are our leaders taking us? The world altogether, it's not just one nation. One bank fails economically, and the latest bank, HSBC Bank, failing in Britain. People who are our leaders telling us lies about the economic situation. And who bears the brunt? We do. This tragedy in Colorado, this lack of righteousness and goodness. You just hear the political campaigns on both sides, and gosh, it is disgusting. Everybody promises the best in the next 4 years, and 4 years later, you find yourself in the same place that you were before. Economically, politically, even in the church. You think of the child abuse crisis, and you hear the words of Jeremiah echoing, "Woe to you, shepherds! Woe to you, shepherds." Not even the church is free from sin. And this season, when you hear people say all kinds of things and make promises, either from the right or the left, the conservative or the liberal, the progressive or the traditional, I'm one of those people who say none of these guys are going to lead us to anywhere this meaning. Folks, I believe that if we want to have hope, the only person who can lead us to that is Jesus. And sometimes it's very, very painful for me to see people's lives being informed by the political agenda rather than what Christ is teaching us. Don't let your faith be informed by your politics. Let your politics be informed by your faith. Because Jesus is the only good shepherd. He is the Lord who is justice. He's the one who lays down his life for his sheep. He's the one who teaches us to walk in justice and righteousness. Here is what I'm inviting all of us to today. Be very conscious of who Jesus is. Be very informed about what Jesus is teaching us, and make a conscious surrender of your will and of your heart to this God who invites us to walk in the ways of righteousness. And if we do, then one day, unlike any of the shepherds today in the world, one day he will lead us home. Jesus, and only Jesus, will lead us home. Let this Eucharist be an expression of our faith in Christ. Let this Eucharist be a response that we make to today's readings. And may we who believe in Christ be moved with pity ourselves. The people of God said,